Good morning, everyone. You're all welcome to the church. Welcome to the people sitting in the pews, to those of you joining us live on the webcam, and to anyone who just happens to listen in later. We begin with our opening words. The womb of stars embraces us. The remnants of their fires pulse through our veins. We are of the stars, the dust of the explosion cast across space. We are of the earth. We breathe and live in the breath of ancient plants and beasts. Their cells nourish our soul. Our fingers trace the curves carved in stones by ancestors unknown to us. We are part of the great circle of humanity. We gather this morning to celebrate our heritage. We recall in gratitude all that has given us life. Our chalice lighting. We light our chalice to bring light to our minds, wisdom to our souls, and warmth to our hearts. Light to show us the way, wisdom to walk it with integrity, warmth to enfold our fellow pilgrims, and compassion.
We sing of golden mornings, we sing of sparkling seas, of prayers and mountains and stately forest trees. We sing of flashing sunshine and life bestowing rain, of birds among the branches and springtime come again. We sing
Let us pray. In the refuge of this community, we turn our busy minds towards silence and our full hearts towards one another. We acknowledge together the mysteries of existence, the bright surprise of birth, and the shadowed questions of death. In our slow walk between these two, we will be wounded and we will be showered with grace, amazing and unending. Even in our sorrows, we feel our lives cradled in a holiness we cannot comprehend. And though we each walk within a vast loneliness, the promise we offer here is that we do not walk alone. This is a holy place in which we gather. In this place of silence and celebration, solemnity and music, we know that we are welcome. We know that this is a home. It is our home, made sacred by our presence. In this home, we bring our hunger for awakening. We bring our compassionate hearts and our will towards justice. Into this home, we bring the courage to begin again, having known loss. In this home, we bring our joy and gratitude for ordinary blessings. Let us practice gratitude. When gratitude arises as the only prayer of the heart, we are learning at last what it is to be fully alive. By our presence, we bless this place. In its shelter, we know ourselves to be blessed. Amen. Now can we join together to say the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our reader this morning was Jennifer Buller, and Jennifer forgot she was reading, but she's texted her reading to Will. Technology is great, and Will is going to read it on her behalf.
Good morning, everyone. Well, thanks very much, Jennifer, for allowing me to be up here today without the stress of it. So, and Jennifer has chosen a beautiful reading, and I was just going to say that Jennifer sent me this in her absence, but Bridget has. If you're watching, Jennifer, we love you, and don't stress. The poem that Jennifer has asked me to read is called "This Is What Was Bequeathed Us," and it was written by Gregory Orr. And I'm going to ask Jennifer to record it and to upload it onto the website, if that's allowed as well. So that's your job, Jennifer. You have to record it into your phone, and we'll put it as a little podcast, because I'm sure you read it better than me with a bit of practice. So forgive me if I get anything wrong. This is what was bequeathed us. This earth the beloved left, and leaving, left to us. No other world but this one. Willows and the river, and the factory with its black smokestacks. No other shore, only this bank on which the living gather. No meaning but what we find here. No purpose but what we make. That and the beloved's clear instructions. Turn me into song. Sing me awake.
Thank you, Jennifer. Lovely poem. A children's story. Again, I'm hoping we'll have children here someday soon as things come back to normal. I think all of us here grew up with the idea that the Ten Commandments were there for us to live our lives by. And I think that's still in our mind, even though a lot of them really, they're not irrelevant, but they don't seem to sing very well with us. I'm thinking particularly of the one that says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." I think Irish people feel they have a dispensation from that one. But growing up, I never knew what it meant to covet my neighbour's wife. And I never have coveted my neighbour's wife, to be honest about it. You know, but anyway, I came across these 10 suggestions for 10 different commandments, and they're not about our relationship with God or anything, but how to get on better with people, maybe. And the first one is, thou shalt be amazed by the good in people. Thou shalt avoid judgment of others. Thou shalt avoid jumping or hurting people with sarcasm. Thou shalt avoid jumping to conclusions. Thou shalt attend to details when serving others. Thou shalt make realistic promises and keep them. Thou shalt make clear priorities for your time and attention, for how you care for your body, mind, and heart, and you must act on these priorities. Thou shalt wait 24 hours before doing or saying anything negative about another person. Thou shalt not say yes when you mean no. You shall ask before acting. Now, someone else's interpretation of commandments, maybe something to think about. What commandments do you live by? Do I live by? For my reading, I have chosen a piece. It's by Gary Hastings called Going Up the Holy Mountain. Our day-to-day awareness of reality is very limited in one way. We live in a time where intense sensory stimulation can be ours for the asking at any hour of the day and night. Where once music and art, story and song, and even food and drink were luxuries, now we are being sold things, told things, tempted by things, relentlessly and continuously. Our mental life is swamped with input from smartphones, tablets, computers, TV, advertising, internet, video games, newspapers and magazines. Our mental pathways are rarely free of stimulation in one form or another. For someone from a previous era of our history, our ordinary everyday life would be a rowdy, technicolor, explosive, hallucinogenic experience. Thus, true reality gets crowded and drowned out. Real life, just in case you're not sure, is the one with no music in the background and no special effects. It doesn't always feel good, and there may not be a happy ending. Finding God in the here and now is something most people have to learn. It's not easy to make it real, to realize it. We can do it by luck or by force of will for a moment or two sometimes. Finding God is the chief ideal and goal of Christian spirituality. To live constantly in that place where God is, the place Jesus called the kingdom of God. We use spiritual techniques to help to live there. Prayer and meditation, reading, thinking and discussion with other people, all these help and move us a little further along the road. Pilgrimage is one of those techniques. It is one which may suit some more than others, but can be good for us all. Perhaps sometimes we have to move away physically to find God or see reality. We need to step out of our old shoes, our old tracks, and find new ones. This is what mountains and sacred places are good for. Places apart, thin places, out of the ordinary places. Places of meaning, where meaning might be found. Places where you can see clearly for miles and miles from a vantage point. See both life and landscape. Then you can reassess and understand in a true wide perspective, in contrast to the tight, narrow place you may have felt your life was. That's what a pilgrimage is for. Any mountain will do, or a garden, or a bus shelter. Even a corner of your mind will do. The place itself is only a tool. In terms of God's presence, it's no different than any other place on the planet. But in terms of how humans think and see things, in terms of how our brains work, a mountain can be a very special place. Let us pray. And this prayer will be followed by a time of silence for personal reflection. Today it is hard to find silence. We are bombarded by noises on all sides. And when we might be able to find silence, we destroy it by tuning in to some noise in order to find distraction from ourselves. Because we are restless, uncomfortable in our own skins. If we experience the stillness of silence, we might have to look deep within ourselves, and we're not sure if we could like what we would find there. Mother Teresa said, God is the friend of silence. The trees, plants, and flowers all grow in silence. The sun, moon, and stars all move in silence. Let us take a few moments to enjoy silence, to allow ourselves to be who we are, to be comfortable with who we are, to allow the divine to flow through us. I've heard it said that there are a small number of events that have the power to fundamentally change society. One is a general mobilization of the population at a time of war. The second is a political revolution. And the third is a pandemic. The 14th century Black Plague was even more destructive than this current pandemic. It killed about one third of Europe's population. And the huge loss of life that led to a shortage of labor. But this shortage of labor allowed farm workers leverage to negotiate better working conditions. It was the end of serfdom and the beginning of people having their own patch of land to farm. It was a real change. The Black Death was also partly responsible for the proliferation of superstition and magic into religious practice. In the face of almost certain death, anyone who survived attributed their survival to a relic or talisman or good luck charm. Later, many of these items were given the status of relics, and they became a focus for pilgrimage for churches, and they were used to make money. You know, there were lots of chips of the cross and thorns from Jesus' crown and all of those sort of things. The Reformation set out to sweep away unscriptural practices such as pilgrimages. And there was, of course, dishonesty in some, perhaps even in many shrines. Pamela told me a wonderful story. Pamela works with Unitarian churches in East Lancashire, and she said that the local Catholic church had relics in its care, and they had them tested, DNA tested recently. And the bones turned out to be the bones from two different ponies. Not even human bones, two different ponies. However, despite the skullduggery, there is something in human DNA that is drawn to making a pilgrimage. From the mists of time, undertaking a pilgrimage was part of religious practice. Before churches were built, people made pilgrimages to features of the nature in the landscape. And Kirkpatrick was a place of pilgrimage for thousands of years before Christianity came to Ireland. Post the Reformation, the practice of making a pilgrimage declined in popularity. But in recent times, there is a rediscovery of these ancient pilgrim routes. The Camino in Spain and many other routes are once again being walked by pilgrims. These ancient pilgrim ways are now holiday destinations. The Guardian actually has a list of the top best pilgrim routes in Europe, if anyone would like to look that up. They're even becoming good for TV. Put together a varied mix of public personalities and different faiths, set them on a challenging walk, and drama is fairly well guaranteed. Aside from the television ratings, the pilgrims are always changed by their experience. Most of them go into it, you know, it's probably a job they're paid for, I don't know, but they're always changed by the experience. It may reignite forgotten religious practices. It may affirm someone's sense of being a contented atheist. It may give the pilgrim a different perspective on their life experiences. All participants leave with a deeper appreciation of the value of being alive. They have a greater sense of being part of the flow of life. They're part of the human chain of souls who were born, who lived and died. And all of them leave with a greater understanding of other people's faith and relationship with what they call sacred. People you would imagine who would disagree over theology, when they share space and an experience and probably discomfort, they have a greater understanding of one another after it. By and large, Ireland avoided the Reformation. So pilgrimages and pattern days have always flourished here. And the best known pilgrimage, of course, is the annual climbing of Kirkpatrick at the Festival of Lunasa. That's now celebrated on the last Sunday of July. There were attempts in Victorian times to have it banned. This is because there was a perception that it was an occasion when there was far too much alcohol consumed and too much social mixing of genders. As in our reading we saw, to undertake a pilgrimage is to interrupt the everyday rhythm of life so that we shake ourselves out of the rut of habit. It's an opportunity to reflect and to find a longer perspective on life. It's an opportunity to refocus. And while it's not essential to travel somewhere different, it usually does mean going away from your usual everyday world and walking. Being outside of routine and walking are great ways to bring yourself into the present moment. It is mindfulness in practice. The physical challenge of walking longer than usual or climbing a mountain brings us back into our body. We're aware of climbing, of using the muscles we haven't used, of the aches that brings along with it. And the ache of tired muscles and blisters focuses the mind right in the present, particularly if it's raining and it's miserable. Ancient pilgrimages involved going to a feature in the natural world. Often the destination was a well, but most often it was a mountain that drew the spiritual searcher. And mountains are really closely tied in with religions. It was on Mount Horeb that God spoke to Moses. It was on Mount Sinai he gave Moses the commandments. Solomon built his temple on the mount. The most concise summary of Christian teaching is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was transfigured on Mount Tabor. He was crucified on the hill of Golgotha. He ascended to heaven from a mountain. The second holiest shrine in Islam is the Dome of the Mount. There is a deep connection between human longing for the spiritual and the world of nature, particularly mountains. Religious leaders would have us believe that God is found in their temple, their church, and that God speaks to us from their sacred scripture. But God has never been confined to religions, any one religion. The sacred is found where human beings look for truth, try to find compassion, and everything that is best within our human nature. God is found where we return to the divine spark within ourselves. God is not in a church or in a book. The world is such a noisy place where demands are constantly made on our time and attention. It's easy to lose sight of the essentials of life. And we do need to take time to reset our focus on the things that are important. Making the pilgrimage is a way of getting that focus. And it's a way that has been time-tested for thousands of years. It is a way of caring for ourselves. We don't need to make logical sense about why we would make a pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is more about feeling the rightness of something we engage in. We don't need to logic it out. We need to feel it. Last week, Paul and I were at Croagh-Patrick. We did not climb the mountain. But we chatted with a number of people who had just climbed the Reek. And it was interesting to hear the reasons why they had made the climb. We were looking for instructions to get somewhere. That's how we ended up chatting with them. For one person, it was a way of noticing his aging, a reminder of his mortality. This was a veteran of the pilgrimage who noticed that with each climb, he was slowing down, it was taking him longer. Some walkers were keeping up a family tradition. There was one group of young men who made the climb a few years ago, and one of that group had died recently, and they joined together to climb the Reek in honor of that person. Now, climbing that mountain had absolutely no benefit to the person who had died, but it did have value for the people who made the climb. And there are many reasons why you might do that. The Reek of Croagh-Patrick in Mayo is a dominant feature all around that area. The surrounding area is full of rich archaeology. There are remains of many ruined monasteries, and these have connecting Christian pilgrim paths. Less obvious are ancient standing stones scattered in the fields. And those ancient standing stones that are way before Christianity are there to mark the sun's passage on Croagh-Patrick. But they're not easy to find. A farmer was trying to explain to us how to get there, and he told us to. We'd find three standing stones in a field with stones and sheep in it. Now, every field in Mayo has stones and sheep in it. We didn't find those standing stones. But they were placed there in very ancient times. Separate from those standing stones is a natural outcrop of rock. It's called the Bohe Stone. And it's just a piece of limestone sticking out of the ground. But it is decorated with 260 Neolithic carvings. They reckon that these carvings were done the same time as Newgrange was built, so 3,000 to 5,000 years ago. The carvers left these marks in tribute to their sacred mountain. Standing at the stone, if you stand at that stone, and just in the area around it, twice during the year, on the 18th of April and the 24th of August, the setting sun appears to roll down the side of Croagh-Patrick. These dates, April and August, together with the winter solstice, divide the year into three fairly equal parts. There's only a difference of a few days. These were people closely tuned in with the rhythms of the earth and the movements of the planets. They have left their marks carved in stones. We try to decipher their meaning. And their knowledge was lost. It was somebody in the 1990s who rediscovered this phenomenon of the sun. But standing at that ancient stone, I thought of the people who thousands of years ago carved those marks on the rocks. They didn't have tools, but they tried to leave behind their knowledge and their wisdom. They were our ancestors. Like us, pilgrim souls, now they're long dead. Their legacy to us is the carvings. 5,000 years ago, their work tells us to look at the natural world, notice what's going on around you, and be amazed. That led me to think of what legacy will we leave for people who come thousands of years after us? Will it be something of value? Or is our legacy likely to be mountains of plastic waste? Making a pilgrimage or making time to consider the purpose of life is an essential part of self-care. We are all pilgrim souls journeying through here for a few short years on earth. It behoves us to live those years as best we can and to consider the souls who will follow one day in our footsteps. Amen. Our notices. Thank you for the lovely singing, Shari. It was absolutely lovely. There's no offertory, but there is a donation box on the way out if anyone would like to help. And it's also possible to make a donation to the church from our website. And we thank people who support us. Wednesday, lunchtime meditation from 1:05 to 1:35. The church will be open for that. It's also available online. On Wednesday evening, the book club meet. That's the 1st of September. They meet 6:45 for 7 p.m. on Zoom. And this month's book is Death and Nightingales. We are still looking for a benevolent landlord. We are in the process of trying to sponsor a refugee family, probably from Afghanistan or Syria. But we need to have a property that we can rent for them. If anyone knows of it, pass the word around. If you hear of anything going, let us know. And there's a leaflet on the table with details of what we need. We also have a family from America here looking for accommodation as well. Megan and Aaron are coming to Ireland for a year. They're sitting down there, and we hope to see lots of them. But if anyone knows of another apartment, let us know as well. Our blessing. God, maker of stars and galaxies, come to us in our dreams. Grant us visions of a world at peace with itself, and give us the determination to make those dreams real. Send us out from here with love and courage in our hearts. Amen.